Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 26, verses 1 through 5 and 12 through 15. Hear the word of the Lord. On that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up victory like walls and bulwarks. Open the gates so that the righteous nation that keeps faith may enter in. Those of steadfast mind you keep in peace because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord God you have an everlasting rock. For he has brought low the inhabitants of the height, the lofty city he lays low. He lays it low to the ground, casts it to the dust. O Lord, you will ordain peace for us, for indeed all that we have done, you have done for us. O Lord, our God, other lords besides you have ruled over us, but we acknowledge your name alone. The dead do not live, shades do not rise, because you have punished and destroyed them and wiped out all memory of them. But you have increased the nation, O Lord. You have increased the nation. You are glorified. You have enlarged all the borders of the land. May the Lord add his blessing to our hearing and understanding of his holy word this day.
Pastor Susan's reading adds understanding even in how she reads. When the attacks on the World Trade Center happened September 11, 2001, we were living about 90 minutes from New York City. And even if only a few people in town worked in the city, we were all close enough that New York was our city at the time. Perhaps it's how you all felt when the Marathon bombings occurred. Of course, given the other crashes of the Pentagon and in Pennsylvania, 9/11 was on a bigger scale. And when Sunday came around, church attendance swelled. And I've often wondered if I blew it. Without considering the pain that many people in the congregation were feeling that morning, I immediately launched into my understanding of not only why the attacks had happened, but also we ought to do in response, what we ought to do. I'm not sure anything I said was wrong. It was just badly timed. It wasn't the right time for it because people were still reeling. It shouldn't surprise us, though, that when I bring us to today's reading in the Gospel of John, we're going to find that in contrast, in a time of crisis, Jesus Christ says exactly the right thing at exactly the right time. The scene for what I'll read is in the Last Supper. Earlier, in words recorded in the same chapter, Jesus has told his disciples that he is going away. And they are stunned. He explained that he is the way, the truth, the life. But they are still shocked at the thought of living their lives without the one that they hung their hopes for the future. So his words in John 14, 23 to 31 provide further explanation. Listen as I read. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word. My Father will love them. And we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I am coming to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I'm going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us be on our way. So what is Jesus talking about here? He's daring to claim that friendship with him is so transforming that it provides the only reliable source of peace in our lives. He gives not as the world gives. It's absolutely profound to say that, and to be frank, absolutely irresponsible to say it unless it is true. After all, who does Jesus think he is? God Almighty? Jesus is claiming to offer peace. My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. He knows he's talking about something big, something elusive, and something that some people will say is hard to find. But he says the key is this transforming friendship that he offers with himself and with God the Father, whom he uniquely calls his Father. If anyone loves me, they will keep my word. My Father will love them. We will come to them and make our home with them. Now, before I explain this transforming friendship, I want to spend some time presenting the problem that Jesus is proposing himself as answer to. Because this whole thing's going to take some convincing. How can such a friendship possibly make for peace in our complex world? We know there are many threats. Think of the large scale. On the world scale, currently there are unsteady international relationships with Venezuela, Sudan, Iran, China, North Korea, and more. Russia is engaged in a creeping aggression towards Ukraine. Just gradually taking a little bit back each time, and we don't hear about it. We're all aware that security around our international borders has been a political hot topic. And there are dangers within our borders. I heard two men speaking this week about their joint concern for the safety of a public business in our area. The clientele includes both children and the elderly. And they talked about a security plan that included panic buttons, a lockdown protocol, and a strategic response plan for all employees. And I get it. Standard crime is bad enough. But when you add domestic terrorism to the mix, it can overwhelm us. I remember the morning after the Columbine shooting, our local school superintendent asked to speak with the clergy association in town, and he felt the responsibility for keeping his kids safe, and confessed a feeling of total powerlessness about doing it. The Cold War may be over, but truthfully speaking, how quickly could our world situation become so unstable that a nuclear weapon be launched? Now, please, pardon the bleak outlook, but if I don't point you toward a source of peace that deals with our real concerns, I'm only engaging in a kind of wishful thinking that goes on all around us. And neither you nor I are interested in what Marx called an opiate for the people. But rather than respond to each scale of problems individually, I'm going to pile them all on. And then present how in even such a worst case scenario, a transforming friendship with Jesus Christ really does provide a reliable, the only reliable, source of peace in our world and beyond. I gave you a world view. How about interpersonal peace? Peace. I'm claiming that a transforming friendship with Jesus Christ is the reliable source of peace, and it has to deal with the cause of strife that comes with our relationships. Let's take a look at work relationships. I'm remembering a job that I had just before Carol and I got married. The boss was, oh, so self-important. The vice president had a temper with a hair trigger attached. You know the kind. But I needed the job. When the inevitable finally happened, and they let me go a day before our wedding, one of my best friends, who knew the situation very well, said, "Be honest, if they offered you the job, would you take it?" Workplace relationships can be awful. Now, retirees among us, you know, volunteer work might not be much better. Someone might say, well, they're not holding a paycheck over your head. But yet, you know that letting someone bully you out of doing what you know to be the right task at the right time, in the right place, the right way, well, you want to leave the world a better place. You don't want the destruction to have the upper hand. Family relationships can be even harder. As difficult as it is to apply for a new job, it's even harder to apply for a new family. And what if you've made a vow to love, honor, and cherish till death should part you? Someone might feel trapped thinking, this isn't who I married. And I've seen marriages where the relationship had deteriorated to the point where the two seemed perfectly designed to irritate, annoy, and abrade each other in a way that no one else could. And just to tie these two together, these two arenas where peace can be hard to find, I know a man who re-upped in the army to go to the front lines in a war so he could escape his home front, a war he was experiencing in his marriage. Peace can be elusive. Still, I affirm what I see Jesus claiming in our reading this morning, that a transforming friendship with him is the only reliable source of peace in our world and beyond. So we've gone from the broadest possible scale to interpersonal. Let's go now to inner peace. There's a path to peace that we all try called good enough. Carol and I have a friend from college days, Doug, who grew up in a family where religion was just a little window dressing. It was a nice distraction, but when push came to shove, he was taught that you only had yourself. And when you face stuff that was bigger than you are, why then, good luck to you. Like many of us, Doug had all kinds of insecurity. But the biggest insecurity he had was that he felt compelled to act as if he had it all together. I'd suggest we find people like this all through our lives. You ever hear the phrase, fake it till you make it? You know, on some level that might work. But when I'm on the highway and there's an 18-wheeler behind me, I don't want him faking it. I didn't want my grandmother's heart surgery done by an actor. Well, if you asked Doug in those early days of college if he was happy, he said he would have said yes, because, he later said, he figured he was as happy as those people he talked to who said they were happy. But trying to hold it all together on the inside was eating him up. And everything came to a head when a relationship he was in with a young woman he really liked got out of control. He felt he brought shame on himself and his parents, caused trouble for this delightful young woman whom he had only wanted to impress. His charade, his house of cards, was coming crashing down. And from her pain, the young woman said, "Why don't you stop living for yourself and turn the control, the ownership of your life, over to Jesus Christ? He is alive. He's the most powerful force in the universe. And he loves you with an everlasting love. What do you have to lose?" And that's when Doug's journey as a disciple of Jesus Christ began. He entered into a transforming friendship. I want to remind you of the promise that Jesus made. If anyone loves me, they will keep my word. My Father will love them. We will come to them. We will make our home with them. He's living in you if you've made that commitment. So this peace works from the inside out. In terms of inner peace, the cause of inner turmoil is not being satisfied with who we are. And there are two sources for this. Sometimes we're carrying around someone else's unrealistic expectations about who we ought to be. Somebody is expecting us to be something we cannot be. Or, and sometimes, we're really being jerks. And I know a man, I'll call him Sandy, who never could be the man his father wanted him to be. Sandy was a bookworm who enjoyed playing the piano. And his father wanted him to be a welder. It was unfair of his father, but as far as I know, his father never sought help for his unrealistic pressures he was putting on his son. Sandy grew up disliking himself. It's all based on listening to someone else's unrealistic expectations. What we need are real, realistic expectations based on who we were made to be. In the book of Romans, Paul says that once we have turned to God for help, we have peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. We enter in that relationship. We love him. We promise to obey him. We let ourselves be the clay and him be the potter. Jesus promises something in return. He and the Father will come in and make their home in you. Then he says, peace. I leave with you. I give to you. Not as the world gives. Not conditional. Not based on your measuring up. He won't leave you. He knows what you're going through. He offers his guiding word, his sustaining love. All God has ever wanted was for you to stop trying to do what you can't. He made you to live in a relationship with him where you trust him, where you come to him with your requests, rely on him for your day-to-day needs, physical, emotional, and to today's point, relational. So for Doug, peace came as he realized it didn't matter if he didn't measure up to his earthly father's expectations, because his heavenly father embraced him as he was. The Holy Spirit came to live in Doug. He found help as he continued through college, law school, and found a lovely young woman to have a family with. Continued to seek the scriptures to get good information. He had peace on the inside. Now, if I go from there to interpersonal relationships, can you see that once you're confident of who it is that it's really important to please and that he provides the way for you to please him, then other relationships fall into place. You know, as to job relationships. You know, I didn't want to tell my about-to-be father-in-law that I got fired. But the job God provided when Carol and I got back from our honeymoon was way better in every way. And you might say, oh, coincidence. But the funny coincidence is that coincidences happen to praying people. And so maybe it's not a coincidence. As to job relationships, just trust that God will take care of those as you put your trust in him and focus on him. What about relationships with difficult family members? When families are cruel, abrasive, even abusive, It's necessary to detach a certain amount. It may not be easily done. But let that closest group of people where you get your sense of am I okay come from healthy people. Maybe it's your small group. This is a very valuable thing a small group can be. Why we push them. Your fellowship, your praying friends, some really close group of people that you trust, you respect, who are connecting to God when they're concerned for you as well. And your sense of, they are your mirrors, they are your sense of, am I doing right? Your sense of helping you hear God. That group becomes the family that matters the most to you. an example from a pastor's life. Some of you know that some churches can be hard on their pastors, and it's so much the opposite here, I can't begin to tell you. But some of the wisest advice I've ever heard, given in clergy circles, is for pastors to approach their position, no matter how long they are, as if they are assigned there as consultants. Doesn't mean we don't love, but God is your boss, even if someone else signs your check, if there is a check. You're assigned to love, you're assigned to serve, but you remember heaven's perspective. Now let's go from there, because being a pastor or a missionary is not the only holy vocation. If you know Jesus Christ today, if you said, I want to serve you, Lord, he has a call for you. He has a task for you where you are. It might be befriending the regulars who come to your cashier station at a store. They might have a story to share. They might need a listening ear. They might need a suggestion of a place for a new beginning. God has a call on your life. He's given you gifts and abilities, experiences, and a temperament that shape you for a specific task. That's why we talk about the spiritual gifts inventory. If you haven't done one, they're in the library. He wants you to go for specific people, specific places as his representative. Now here's the thing. If we're on assignment, then we focus on our task and we don't let the drama distract us from the call. Think about the places in your life where that can apply. Don't let the drama distract you from the call. And then God will provide satisfying relationships to reinforce the inner peace he wants to give you. That's why it's a transforming friendship. Inner peace comes from peace with God. Peace in your family comes as you stand secure in the most important relationship. And as we read to each other, the Holy Spirit comes in, and one of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. The path to peace begins with an abiding trust that God is in control and that you've been made right with God. Now back to that macro level, that world peace. This peace in troubled times. Talked about international, talked about at our borders, talked about this war within our nation that Keith reminded us of. So I've focused the answer to begin with inner peace. And does this mean that God doesn't care about peace at the macro level, international and otherwise? Of course he does. Jesus lived this life. He cried when a friend died, even though he knew he would raise that friend. This life matters. The Word of God affirms the need for justice and righteousness countless times. If you want to get God angry, ignore the right way of treating your neighbor, whom you are supposed to love, after all. And so we need to not only recognize that God calls some people to be pastors, some to be shopkeepers, some to be therapists, some to be bankers, school teachers, you name it. Any other honest or honorable profession. God is also calling women and men into public service as legislators and government leaders. It's rare to find people who can obey what is right when the trappings of power are all around them. But God has made more than one Abraham Lincoln, more than one Dag Hammarskjöld, more than one William Wilberforce. Is he calling someone here? Is he calling someone you know, someone you can help shape to be part of his answer? And if we're not called to be serving at those levels, we may very well be called to providing support and encouragement to those who have that very difficult task. We're commanded to pray for them. When they face drastic challenges, let us pray for them. Verses 3 and 4 of the Isaiah reading that Sue gave us. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord himself is the rock. eternal. Transforming friendship with Jesus Christ is the only reliable source of true and lasting peace in our troubled times. Let us pray.